is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, Bahamas. It is Thursday, the 13th of May, 2021. You're tuned into 96.9 FM. That's Guardian Radio. And that must mean you're on the clock with Erin Green. We got an exciting show this morning. We are talking with the chairman of the National Neighborhood Watch Council. Hey, give me a second. I'm just going live on my Facebook feed if you were tuned in. We got shut off for some reason. I think it's because I haven't shared any mangoes yet for the morning, and the universe does not appreciate my petty, but there's still time to do penance. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And I have an ad for you from the Ministry of Finance. New services alert. Request an e-passport renewal online today. This is just one of the many government services that are now available online. Visit mypilotservices.gov.bs to register today. Remember, this message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. I'm super excited this morning, and let me tell you why. Because I just bought my first set of mango from off the side of the road. I don't think you all understand what mango season means to some of us. Some of us like papaya. Some of us like sugar apple, right? Some of us like soursop. Some of us like tamarind. I like all, but most of all, I like that mango. I love that mango. Last year, I was able to taste at least 8 different varieties of mango, locally grown. And this year, I'm aiming for 12. And I've already had, well, I've only had one. I already have 2 in my hand. So once this show is over, if I can escape the studio with all my mangoes intact, I will have had 2 different type of mango, and we only in the second week of mango season. This is going to be beautiful. But, dear Bahamians, don't slunk. And here's what I mean by slunk. See this mango thing? This ain't like, oh, I can always go to the food store and find a mango on the shelf. It ain't like that. Don't let the food store or the supermarket culture, right, of consumption and purchasing, don't let that fool you. We don't know how long this season will last. If you've been paying attention to the mangoes this year, you'll realize that we had some very early mangoes, and those are probably the ones that we've been eating over the last 2 weeks, right? Then we had a second shoot of blossoms, and we had a third shoot of blossoms, right? So it seems like there's a ton of mango on the tree. But here's the thing. If they all harvest, if they all come off the tree at the same time and they aren't harvested properly and stored properly, right, then we run the risk that a large percentage of that first batch of mangoes can go to waste, right? So if you got a mango tree, and you don't know what to do with all those mangoes, or you got hit by surprise, right? That, oh my goodness, I didn't expect 200 mango to fall off the tree one time. Call somebody, call your neighbor, collect the mangoes, bag them up. You'd be surprised how much money you could make off your mango. If ain't nobody buying mango in your community, go to the farmer's market on a Saturday or a Friday morning and sell your mango. Don't let them go to waste. Because here's what I've noticed in this little agriculture business here in the Bahamas. We can grow lots of things. We could grow it. If you just eat it, if they just eat it, we could grow it here. This is, I think we're in zone 11, like Phil Davis Jr. said. If anything that grows on this latitude, we can grow it and we could eat it. So growing it isn't the problem. We grow in it. The consumer isn't the problem either. Because if the consumer knows it's available, they're going to buy it and they're going to eat it. That's not the problem. The problem with our agriculture industry are the mechanisms that are missing in the middle between the farmer and the end consumer. That's where the issue is, people. A lack of organization, a lack of strategy, a lack of paying attention to the market and the consumers and what's required to capture them and to create a sustainable market. You don't understand, you got to market to the people. You got to shift their culture the way that they think about buying food and eating food. Because if people think they could just, oh, I could just go to the food store and find a local mango, that ain't no true. And you ain't going to find it. You got to know when the farmers harvest. You got to know when the farmers go to market. You got to watch the trees. You got to know when we come into the end of the season. Don't get left out. But you know, you want your mangoes to last long, you need to leave them in a cool space, if not refrigerated, right? So you can't just leave the, you can't pick the mango on Monday and want charge me $3 for the mango on Monday. Don't sell them, leave them outside on the porch for 3 days in the heat till Thursday or Saturday market and then try sell it to me for the same $3. Mm-mm. It can't work. But if you invest a little time and energy and create a cool room. So whatever room it is in your house where you run the AC, buy one top, take one old shower curtain, and lay that down on the ground and store your cases of mango in there so they could stay cool. Because I ain't buying no five-day-old mango for $3. One day old, I'll buy it. But not 5 days, right? So what we realize is that Bahamians could grow it, and Bahamians will eat it. The problem is the mechanisms that are missing between the farm and the end consumer. So I would say that especially to my vendor friends out there who can be selling a lot of fruit this summer and trying to figure out how to make their profit, the money back, and the best profit possible. Here's my advice to you. Figure out how you're going to add value to that product. Because I'll pay you $3 for a mango one day or 2 days after it's been harvested. But I ain't trying to pay you no $3 for no mango 5, 6, 7, 10 days after it's been harvested. But at that point, you should have already figured out how to add value to it. So I can give you a couple of ideas. If you didn't know already, you could make mango lemonade. You could make mango puree to sell to make lemonade and juice. You could make dried mango, like the mango fruit snack. You could make mango leather, like mango fruit roll-up. You could make mango vinegar for your salad dressing. Or you could make mango wine for your little bibbing session, right? You could take the hairy mango out of the liquid when you're straining it, and you could take that hairy mango and you could make seedling trays with it. And sell the little seedling trays to all the farms and all the high school and the primary school farm classes, right? So we don't have any waste going back. You could make mango syrup. You could make mango pepper jelly. You could make mango jam. You could be like me and make world-famous mango rum fingers, perfect for church prayer meeting and parliament, right? Add value to the product before you put that heavy price tag on a lower grade or lower quality fruit because of the time that's expired since it's been harvested. Now, Bahamians will go out into the market and they can pay for things, you know. They respect hard work. And they also respect nobody hassling them over the price. So they can pay you what you ask if they really want it. But please, let's practice some common sense. Let's think about some new skills and techniques we could use to increase our profit margin as opposed to this old plantation model where we just double the price on anything. And if you don't like it, come out to people's shop. That can't work no more. It cannot work anymore. Plus, I have this to say, the people who are out there selling dilly for dollar, you know who you are. And Jesus knows who you are too. And he is not pleased because you cannot sell dilly for dollar, people. This is untenable. That's real robbery. Look here, and I can say it, and I only can say it once before we get the show started. That's what you call PLP math. And we cannot tolerate it any longer, people. Dilly cannot be dollar. I take a little fun with that, but it's a serious thing. Dilly cannot cost dollar. That is how we know that the cost of living is too high. Forget the cost of energy. Forget the fact that your light bill was the same as your mortgage or your rent for decades. That's not the indicator that the economy is upside down and there's something wrong. The real indicator is y'all selling dilly for dollar and one hairy mango for dollar. And that can't work. It cannot work. It's unsustainable. And I'll say it one more time. It must be PLP math and we must do away with it. Anyway, that's my little agricultural note this morning. As you could tell, I am very, very happy. It is mango season. This is my time of the year. Kermit, let's roll to a break. And not listening audience, when we get back from the break, I'm going to introduce my guests and we're going to get into this conversation about how we can, are and how we can continue to keep our communities safe. You're listening to 96.9 FM. This is Guardian Radio. We'll be right back.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.ps. Offer ends May 31st.
Signs that you should go to therapy. You've thought about it, you wonder if it could help, you want to go, you wanted to see if this list would apply to you. Mental health is health too.
This Mental Health Awareness Month message brought to you by Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding the lives of family, friends, and neighbors. By knowing what action you should take, you can reduce the effects of a hurricane disaster. Get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, essential supplies, and a lot more before the storm. After the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, and more. The Nassau Guardians Hurricane Guide will help you make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 commercials on Star 106 hits. Contact us today at 302-2300. That's 302-2300 or your account executive. Will you be prepared?
COVID-19. Do not panic. Be prepared. Some persons may get worried and feel stressed whenever there's an outbreak of diseases like COVID-19. Do not panic. It is better to be informed and prepared. Talk to a healthcare professional about your concerns. Make a plan for how you will keep your home and workspace clean and disinfected. Practice proper hygiene and preventative actions such as proper hand washing and coughing and sneezing etiquette. Stay informed about local COVID-19 updates from trusted and reliable sources.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning, Bahamas. Good morning. You're on the clock with Aaron Green, tuned into 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. And my guest today is Mr. Kino Wong. Like I said, he is the chairman of the National Neighborhood Watch Council. Now, I don't own a house or a home, but I am as concerned about crime, security, and safety in my community as the actual homeowners are. We all are. In all of our communities. And this is not just about protecting property and cars and mangoes and things. It's about the fundamental inalienable right to a life free of violence. This includes psychological violence. The fear that you will surely be a victim of crime. And it's not a matter of if, but only of when. Whether it's bullying, gang violence, street harassment, and sexual predation, that's when you prey on people who you think are weak and vulnerable, trying to have sex with them. Yeah. Robbery, theft, or housebreaking. Everyone has the right to a life free of violence. And children who can't just pack up their Georgie bundle, sell the house, and move to a nicer community, rely on us adults to govern ourselves and to create and maintain homes and communities where they can just be kids. So I was on my phone the other day, just scrolling as you do when you're wasting time, and I saw a flyer for the National Neighborhood Watch Council. And I said, you know what? I think this is going to be an interesting conversation. Well, I am so glad that in fact, somebody shared the flyer in a group I'm in, and I'm so glad I reached out to them and said, hey, boy, do you have contact for these people? And he said, you're talking to the contact right now. I am so glad that I reached out to Mr. Kino Wong, because in just the few minutes I've been researching this, I've been overwhelmed by what I learned is happening right around me, and I wasn't aware of it. And here I am watching things. I watch trees, I watch man, I watch Chick Johnny, and I didn't watch the wife. So good morning, Mr. Wong. Please introduce yourself and tell us what the National Neighborhood Watch Council is.
Oh, my goodness. Good morning, and good morning, Bahamas. And it's good to be with you on 96.9 FM. I dare to say, just want to say one thing before we start.
Yes.
I'd like to say happy birthday to one of my dearest cousins by the name of Torkel Mona Lisa Seymour Dawkins, who is celebrating a birthday today. And so I got her about 10 or 11 years. I'm older than her, so yeah, I call her a little girl, you know.
Okay.
But she's celebrating her birthday today. She's a wife, a mother, and a businesswoman.
Awesome. Happy birthday to you.
Yes.
Make sure he bring you some mango, okay?
I'm going to get it from Aaron. But in reality, my name is Kino Wong. I am the national chairman for the Bahamas National Neighborhood Watch Council. That is under the Ministry of National Security. And, of course, we fall right directly under the Honorable Minister Marvin Deems and his executive team at the ministry. And so I say good morning to them. P.S. Davil and Deputy P.S. Lisa Adley and the entire team there, along with Superintendent Wilton Johnson, who is the national coordinator that falls from the police side of it.
Okay,
so I want to say good morning to all of them. And, of course, good morning to over 160-plus watch groups throughout the country.
160 neighborhood watch groups. Just hearing that number make me feel safer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have over 160-plus watch groups throughout the country, and we'll dialogue more on that. But the Bahamas National Neighborhood Watch Council is a diverse set of group of people from all walks of life, from those who have been incarcerated to those who are businessmen, government employees. We have doctors. We have insurance agents. And so the list goes on. Police officers are also involved. Mm-hmm. And so the council on the whole is a magnificent group of people from diverse backgrounds. Not everyone get along every day.
Yeah.
But, of course, we have one common goal, and that is to continue to create better and safer communities for all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the council is mandated by rules and regulations, you know, structured in a way that we all govern so we can know what our rules are and
right.
what protocols are in terms of governing your communities, which is very essential.
Right. It's great to understand the need to model that culture in the organization,
mm-hmm.
right? We are attempting to show people how to and assist people in how to govern your community.
And that's the key component. You are actually in charge of your community. You know, there's a saying that individuals go and come, but the communities are always there.
Yeah.
You know, not many of us can afford to pick up, and like you said, Georgie bundles and move to a gated community.
Mm-hmm.
But wherever you are, you make that community the best little community possible.
Yeah.
By governance of how you live and how you respect each other, mm-hmm. and knowing your neighbors. That's the main factor.
Yeah.
How do you know your neighbors? Who are the people in your community? That is very critical in the National Neighborhood Watch program. Who are the people in mm-hmm. your community?
And a short story. So my mother grew up on the Fort Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Mitchell, right opposite police barracks, right?
Right.
And when she came back from university with degrees, and she's a professional woman, the Bahamian dream at the time was you start a family. You go into you buy a home. You know, you move out into the suburbs and you build up the country, right? But when she and other Bahamians did that, it's almost as if they created a vacuum, right, in the community. They left.
Mm.
Right, that was filled by whatever. But now they move into these new communities, right, and without an actual structure to tell people how to live and how to interact, right, or why it's important, we then begin to form new communities that don't have the same natural relationships and linkages. So in my old community, I may have been more prone to watch out for what's happening at your house, because you is my cousin. And even if we not blood cousins, I know you all my life. My mommy know your mommy all her life.
Mm-hmm.
Her mommy know her mommy all her life. And so we are like family. And I think once that process of national development occurred, some gaps occurred that we are now filling in with programs like this.
Yes, and you hit a point there. Yesterday, I was dialoguing with a gentleman who lives in, we call the inner city, and he said to me that so many of our leaders in our country say that they come from humble beginnings in the inner city. And he said, you know what, Kino, but they don't come back to bring the wealth back. They don't come back to bring changes.
Mm-hmm.
But they talk about, I walk the streets bare feet. I knew what it was to use the outside toilet. I knew what it was to get water from the city pump. But they live in the suburbs. They live out in the more expensive communities.
Mm-hmm.
But have they ever came back into those communities to develop a community center or help clean up the community or even speak to the younger generation of whence they come from?
Or to sort of recapture the family property, right? Like, land is wealth. But see, it's not just the land itself. It's the accumulation of lived experiences and culture developed on that land that builds mm-hmm. empire and families, right?
Yes.
And so you come back into the community and buy the piece of land, whether it's for a family member or you lease it out to other members of the community, but stake your claim.
Yeah, and you're right, you're right. And so, you know, we have lots of work to do, you know, and the institution is growing every day. You know, we just came back from out of Exuma,
mm-hmm.
where we had approximately about 37 graduates from out of the program. And so Exuma is on board with the National Neighborhood Watch. We had majority of the police officers, from Chief Superintendent Ferguson to Superintendent Moss and the rest of the ASPs and sergeants and mm-hmm. corporals who got involved and learned the structure of the Bahamas National Neighborhood Watch Council. You know, so there was a week training.
Right.
You know, and so we are delighted to have Exuma on board at this very particular time. But there's much more. I know that you have a lot of questions, like you said to me outside, that you have a lot of questions that you would like to ask. So the wider community of the Bahamas can know what we are really, really all about, and who are our true partners.
Right. And I want to invite our listening audience to call in and ask any questions. I'm fascinated, but I know people are concerned about the state of their communities and may want to know about how they could form their own group. So let me remind them of how they could get into the conversation. Remember, we're streaming live audio and video on GuardianTalkRadio.com. You could listen in on TV on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or Flow, channel 612. Or you could download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. Or you could text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-4796. That's 422-GR96. Standard text rates apply, and that's powered by BTC. Or you could call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Now, I see we have a couple of texts here. Now, Mr. Wong, you read this text.
Mm-hmm.
These people asked me to ask you if you was a PLP supporter. And I want to say to them, you don't mind me in here talking about PLP math, you know. That don't have anything to do with Mr. Wong. I crack and joke on the PLP. Right? And anybody else who won't get Joe crack on them. But I don't know if he's a PLP supporter. What I do know is that he is a supporter of national development because this program is absolutely wonderful. Wonderful. Like, absolutely wonderful. I live in a community that is a semi-closed community, right? It's like a cul-de-sac. And technically, you don't have to come through there. Unless you go into somebody's house.
And I know about that.
Right. But lots of cars has come through there. And like I told you all yesterday, I got the camera on my mango tree. On it. Y'all, please don't make me put y'all on TV. But there are always lots of cars coming through my neighborhood, right? And I just have to presume that these are other people from the neighborhood. They're just taking a different route home. They just want a scenic route. Or they want to see the mango tree, see what they're saying. But it's extremely important. It's always on my mind, community safety.
Right.
And in fact, I know my neighbors would look at me when I was younger, like, this woman don't have a job. She don't own a house. She don't comb her hair. But she is very, very concerned about what's happening.
In her community?
In her community.
Yeah.
So tell me, can individuals join the watch group?
That's a good question. We anticipate that anyone can join.
Right.
The mere fact is that we prefer communities.
Right.
An individual can show the interest,
mm-hmm.
and then we speak with the individual to see how best we can form a neighborhood watch group in that particular community, his or her community.
Right. So you'll help me.
I will help you.
Help form one.
Yes.
If I can find other interested partners.
In your community. The key component is this. The Royal Bahamas Police Force, under the leadership of Commissioner Paul Rule, has mandated with liaison officers who are attached to the National Neighborhood Watch Unit.
Okay.
That is led by Superintendent Wilton Johnson. And so we have various police divisions,
mm-hmm.
11 divisions here in New Providence. Then we have divisions in the Grand Bahama. We have divisions in Eleuthera, Abaco, and Exuma right now for the National Neighborhood Watch. There might be other islands in the Bahamas that may be interested. And, of course, we entertain them as well. The structure is that an individual may want to start a neighborhood watch group in their community. We advise them to reach out to the nearest police division in their community. So, for instance, let's go into the Eastern Division.
Yeah.
Okay, the Eastern Division is divided with Fox Hill Police Station as well as the Elizabeth Police Station.
Right.
Depending on how it is zoned. And remember, the police zoning is different from the political zoning.
Right, right.
All right? And so, therefore, if you're in the Fox Hill Division, you want to visit there and speak to Chief Superintendent Earl Thompson. And the liaison officer in that community is Corporal Burroughs.
Right.
All right. And so individuals can approach the organization, and we'll be more than happy to show them the way forward on how to develop and how to start a neighborhood watch group in their particular community.
Now, let me rephrase that. I have been in one particular community that I just realized is a part of your council mm-hmm. of groups, and they say they have signs up that say "Smile, you're on camera."
Yes.
Do a lot of groups use cameras, or are they using CCTV to monitor their communities?
I dare to say that there is a few communities that are basically on full stream. First of all, I will say that the oldest community in our country in terms of neighborhood watch is the Blair State.
Okay.
And they have a massive CCTV camera system, a camera system that is on par with the Royal Bahamas Police Force.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now listen, as an anti-imperialist, capitalist advocate, right? Here's what I say to people. Do you hear that? Dear thief, dear robber, now is the time to reconsider today's business strategy, right? Now that you have had access, been given access to more information, right?
Mm-hmm.
You realize that communities are armed with tools, right? So I'm not telling you you're a horrible person because you're a thief. What I'm telling you is, now is a good time to reconsider your options for the day.
And I'll tell you this. The Neighborhood Watch program, like you said, let me piggyback off of how many other communities. You have the Yellow Elder, Millennium Gardens, Stapleton Gardens. You have some other communities in the Southwestern Division, which is the Carmichael Road area. You have communities in the Southeastern, which is the Pinewood Police Station area.
Southeast, yeah.
We call it Pinewood Police Station, right? But the correct name is the Southeastern Police Division.
Yeah.
So you have communities that have CCTV cameras. We also have community residents that has cameras that are pointed directly to the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, they are able to pick up any strange activities that is going on. And that maybe they may be able to assist their communities if there was a house break-in, bumper theft, car theft, whatever it is that they are there. That's why the Neighborhood Watch program is so essential.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about fighting crime. It's about knowing who are the people in your community.
Mm-hmm.
And so that particular community that you said you drove through that says, "Smile, you are on camera." Yes, there is a lot of cameras in that community.
Yeah.
You may not see it,
mm-hmm.
but we got you.
And let me make a note here, because I know there's a whole bunch of, well, there's a handful of BIDEM out there now saying, "Man, look at Miss Green, and she just on this Babylon system, and they are holding down the black man and a neighborhood watching camera on man them and thing." First of all, if you are a gangster and you are not concerned about the safety of the people on your turf, then you're a sorry, pathetic gangster, right? If you was any kind of gangster and vulnerable people are being robbed or taken advantage of or preyed on, like older women being preyed on for sex, or even something mild, like I know some by them who is go very politely and they know it's older women in their neighborhood who live by themselves and they smoke cigarette, they just go and knock on, "Oh, how you doing today? And I just want to know if I could have a couple cigarettes." And you already know your older neighbor is concerned for her safety and don't want to make any enemies. So you could always tax her for cigarette. That's just like begging a woman for sex over and over and over and over again, right? So y'all gangsters who are out there talking about the Babylon system, shush, y'all ain't doing nothing to keep nobody safe. You see, y'all can't step to big man them trying to keep people in their communities safe. That ain't how this is work. Anyway, that was just a small note for them by them.
Yeah. You know, so There are CCTV cameras around, and there are apps on our phones as well that we can monitor what's going on in our communities from our homes. Or if a neighbor has a particular app, he or she may share the ID number with them, and so they also can monitor what is going on in their particular communities.
This is awesome. I got a text here that says, "Please tell them stop stealing coconuts." Well, listen, that's one of the reasons why I was really excited about having this show, right? This is about us governing ourselves, and it's about us taking the actions that we can take to protect ourselves and to support the work of the RBPF, right? Who we know is overwhelmed with a myriad of tasks, right? And so like this conversation in the U.S. about defund the police, right? Mm. It ain't really about beating up the police, or at least in any Bahamian context, if we're going to have the conversation here. What it's really about is allocating the resources to where they need to be. So should police officers be tasked with dealing with individuals with mental health issues in the community? They do it because there is no other service available to do it. But it's not necessarily their job. Police officers haven't necessarily been trained to do it. And why would we put the weight of that task on them? We should put the weight on the, of that task on the people who are trained to do it. Right? And so this is about filling the gaps.
And, you know, Aaron, and the wider Bahamas, the community leaders are not trained to deal with psychopaths.
Right.
You know, that's not our job.
Yeah.
But we dare to say if there are situations in our communities, we call on the relevant authorities.
Right.
Who will come and assist.
Right.
You know, but that's not what the NNWC or the Neighborhood Watch program is all about.
But what you do, and what I can use you to do, is to say, hey, I know you have a camera pointed in this direction.
Yeah.
Can you give me some footage or tell me how many times you saw this individual? And now I go to the police, right?
Yes.
And then the police document it, and then the police go to, say, Sandilands and say, hey, this is what the neighbors have documented. This is not really a police action. This requires greater
attention.
Yeah. Yes. We got a caller on the line. Kermit, can we get to that call? Caller, you're on the clock.
Probably Daisy the Stack in the voice.
Good morning.
Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Now, I just have a problem with a guy. Every time I call the police for him, his mother just say he's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I called Sandilands. I spoken to a doctor. I forgot her name. And several people I've spoken to are Sandilands pertaining to him. You know what they told me?
Mm-hmm.
Call the police. You see? But then, if I go and do something, they think I can't do anything because I'm physically blind. The thing is, he annoys me. He can destroy my place. And he don't know, all his family don't know I got my place. But if I stop him by some means, the police going to lock me up.
Yeah.
You see my point?
Mm-hmm.
So something needs to be done.
Right, but you ain't going to... You're not going to respond in violence, Brayman. And I appreciate what you're saying, though, right? People get so frustrated that they eventually act out. But the neighborhood watch groups and the council are now a tool that you can use, or you can get their assistance in figuring out how you will deal with a situation. For instance, a lot of the matters are sort of stymied because the police say two things. We need proof. And we can't just take your word that it's happened 17 times, but you only have proof of one incident. They need to be able to have proof to bring to the courts to be able to get someone bound over by the police, for the peace, or restraining order, or to have somebody admitted into a mental health care facility, right? And so this organization is a tool that we can use.
Mm-hmm.
I see we got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Pleasant. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Sparky, and good morning to your guests.
Morning, Sparky.
You know, there's the problem. Okay, I'm retired, and I be home during the day doing a lot of little backyard farming and raising the animals and stuff. And first of all, Aaron, I just got my first Mangola this morning. I just plucked it off the tree.
Oh, lovely.
My voice. And this tree was broken down by a hurricane a few years ago. And God bless the dead. Mark Hanna, A.D. Hannison, told me, he's a horticulturist when he was alive. He told me, cut 5 inches below where the tree broke, and if any limbs come back, she can bring me back some mangoes. I got the first one 3 years later this morning.
Awesome.
But now, getting on that thing, we be home during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of us are retired. And these young men don't realize that cameras are here in Friday State.
Mm-hmm.
And neighbors buzz one another or WhatsApp one another, and they don't realize how dangerous they are. when they slowing down in front of people's houses, getting out to attempt to move people's gas tanks. I mean, I even got to the point where my neighbor told me, say, the guy's cutting your banana off your tree, the bunch. Mm-hmm. He just cut some bananas. He carried a whole bunch. Two of them took the whole bunch.
Yeah.
One slap at the cut, just grabbed the bunch and gone in the little one of these little funny cars, one of them corned beef can car, and gone all, and we saw the car, but we didn't get the license plate. But these people need to be very, very careful because they don't know that during the day, there's some retired people with ammunition looking at them and got the right to protect self and property.
Now, Sparky, do not hold on. Don't waste no mango throwing it at these people.
It could be one of them lead trees.
But listen, okay, we can't, Sparky, you know we can't. People, we are using this opportunity, this time, right, to talk about the legitimate tools available to you, right? We are also using this time to express to those that would resort to theft and burglary and robbery to understand that A, people are tired of you. B, those very same people are going through the very same stresses that you're going through, financial, psychological, and emotional. C, y'all are stupid criminals. Y'all are very bad at what you do. And you are frustrating people to the point where they want to hurt you, where they want to use weapons against you. And this should be a clarion call for you to stop, right? And here I am with my bleeding heart, literally trying to tell you how to stay out of the man's hand by finding an alternative, but also by not being stupid. Because people can call the police on you, and I can call the police on you too. And we don't want to call the police on you because you're young black men trying to figure something out. But stop being stupid.
And with that being said, I want to let Sparky know that prior to state, I know prior to state, prior to state 1, 2, and 3, I think. But prior to state also is a part of the National Neighborhood Watch Program. We have a president in that community by the name of Byron Musgrove. And your liaison officer for that community, for your community, is Inspector Kendrick Brown. And so if there's any concern, you can always reach Inspector Brown at 457-0383. That's 457-0383, Inspector Brown, who is responsible for the Neighborhood Watch Program in the Southwestern Division. And so if you see anything that is out of place, things that are going contrary to property, you can call 911-919. And if that doesn't work, then call Inspector Brown, like I said, at 457-0383, and he'll be more than happy to assist you with any particular matters as it relates to your community in the Southwestern Division.
All right, let's get to these two calls, and then I want you to flood us with any information you want us to know. Don't mind me talking. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron.
Hey, good morning.
You know.
Hey, maybe love it.
Hey, it's like you know this right away.
Yes, sir.
You listen to talk to you every day.
Yes.
But good to hear your voice. I mean, you've been on a long time. Aaron, I don't know he's one of our broadcasters. We need a talk show, too.
But look here, I could sense it. Don't watch nothing.
Yeah, but listen, I just wanted to say that I understand Neighborhood Watch, but I feel much appreciative if we have local government in New Providence. I think it's time for Aaron and Kino. I understand how you're promoting your Neighborhood Watch, but I think it's time for we promote local government in New Providence where we can have more than Neighborhood Watch. We can have more, and I think FNM government campaign on the local government. Matter of fact, they put local government family out of it, but it's sad that they haven't reached here in New Providence yet. So I'm hoping that we will still see local government come to my beautiful eyes on New Providence. I believe that local government will solve numerous of problems, including your crime, Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
If you bring it to New Providence quickly.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And it would help the council, right? Like it will provide services and an environment in which they could enhance what it is they do. You're absolutely right. But in the absence of that, the state, we govern ourselves, and we continue to do what's necessary to govern ourselves. I see we got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. I'm enjoying the Guardian presentation today.
Kermit, can you turn up the volume on the... caller, can you speak up just a little louder for me?
A little louder.
Yeah,
yes,
there you
I'm
go.
Saying good morning to everyone, Guardian listeners and the world. I hear what Ponkanita had to say, but, you know, and maybe that's so. That's true if you have plans of keeping the majority of the Bahamians on the smallest little rock on the planet. So local government right now is in the family of islands. And so we need the children of our forefathers who lived and now is dead, who had to leave the family islands because to follow their children, okay, because they get older. The children need to go back to the family islands, okay, and execute these local government rules and regulations that already exist. That's point one.
Mm-hmm.
However, now when Grammy them was living there, they had some rough times, and I'm gonna keep you along. Okay, so I'm saying to the young people, it might be a little hard work now, but at least during the hard work, you know what you have? You have social media, you have technology now. Grammy them didn't have that in the hard times working. So let's get back to those family islands, get back to working and praising Almighty Yahweh Elohim. And your pastime, now you have the right to put a smartphone in your hand after work. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Yeah, man. Thank you very
much.
Thank you very much. That's some really interesting cultural things, right? Because there's some things we need to go back to bring forward.
Yeah.
Come on, flood me with this info.
Yes. Okay. So I'm out because I know that our time is running. I will dare to say that the Ministry of National Security and the National Neighborhood Watch Council was launched on Monday, the 30th of April, 2018, at the Paul Farquharson Conference Center by the Prime Minister of the Bahamas. And I dare to say at the time, prior to me getting involved with this Neighborhood Watch program in 2018, I was approached by the then Senior Assistant Commissioner of Police, Mr. Stephen Dean, who was very instrumental in asking me to come on board.
Yeah.
And so I must give kudos to him because he was and still is a mentor to me in terms of how to continue to structure and how to be observant and for this program. So I must say thank you to him and thank you to those who are part of the initial stage of this program. The Royal Bahamas Police Force is our number one partner.
Okay.
And I must say thank you to the Commissioner of Police, Mr. Paul Rohl, who has appointed a representative to work closely with community leaders in the person of ACP Theophilus Cunningham, who is responsible and has the greatest responsibility for community policing. Also with Superintendent Wilton Johnson, who heads up the NNWC Neighborhood Police Unit. At this present time, we have the Neighborhood Watch Unit, along with ACP Cunningham. They are actually in the Bean and Grantstown community right now, walking those communities.
Right.
And so just about every Thursday or Wednesday, you will find that the community policing unit goes into communities to hear the concerns and to give pamphlets out and information to communities to join the NNWC, but also to let them know that the police is here to help them and is their friends in the community.
Right, and all so right? I would say to all the men, young woman, young man, them who want smoke, they joined, I don't want the police through my neighborhood, and ray. Sometimes the police ain't even in the neighborhood for you. You want the police in your neighborhood so they could hear the little girl crying because some big crusty man is intimidating her and coercing her. Or you need to be able to hear Grammy who slipped down, right, and need help.
Yes.
They're not there for you. And if you would practice spatial awareness, critical thinking, and mindfulness, you would understand why they need to be in your community.
And you're right. And so the police is in Bean and Grantstown this morning.
Yeah.
And so they are walking that community and giving out pamphlets on a lot of concerns that you may have. And at the same time, you can ask them questions as well. You know,
yeah.
So they are there as a friend.
Yeah.
Not to come and knock down your doors or kick down your doors or handcuff you, but no. But they are there to build the partnership. And the NNWC greatest partners is the Royal Bahamas Police Force. They are our partners in this.
Yeah.
You're not a snitch. let's get that out of the way for the wider community in the world. No, we are here as a partner with them. We want to protect our communities.
Yeah.
I dare to say, prior to 2018, I was heavily involved with politics.
Yeah.
Big time. And I had aspirations of becoming a politician. But after ACP Stephen Dean spoke to me, my mindset changed for the development of better and safer communities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm passionate about it. No one's going to take that away from me. I love community work.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what government is in power.
Mm-hmm.
I will continue to be the advocate for better and safer communities.
Yeah.
I live in a community called Johnson Terrace. I've been serving in that community probably for almost 17 years.
Yeah.
And I've become that community leader. Matter of fact, they call me for everything. Sometimes I won't tell them now, hey, y'all might as well just put me on the payroll. But, you know, I love my community. You know, we are structured. We have great people in Johnson Terrace that live as one, a community that lives as one. We may not all get along. But at the end of the day, when we pull our resources together and we do things together in the community, the entire community has the opportunity of being appraised of what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
I dare to say this, though. The National Neighborhood Watch Council is going to be around forever.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say that right now on this station. It doesn't matter what government comes in power, because we are the people in our community. We will stand with our communities, and we will continue to push. This is a great community, and I want to say this, that with over 160-plus watch groups, Ms. Green, and the wider community of the Bahamas and the world, we have 105 watch groups in New Providence, 22 in Grand Bahama, 21 in Eleuthera, 12 in Abaco, and 8 in Exuma.
Mm-hmm.
These residents and these community leaders are presidents of their communities. They work closely with their community residents, and they work closely with the Royal Bahamas Police Force. We have strategic planning.
Yeah.
Our plannings are to have safer and better communities. That's all we want.
Yeah.
This is not a political scheme that, oh, because the government is in place, this is political. No, you have to take responsibility for your community.
Yeah.
Politicians come and go.
Yeah.
Governments come and go.
And people get the governments they deserve. That's right. Why you govern yourself.
So at the end of the day, I'm passionate about this program.
Yeah.
I have a great executive team, all right? And I can name them all for you. Portia Corbell is our secretary. Eva Bean is out of Abaco. She's the assistant secretary. We have Kendra Cunningham out of Grand Bahama. She's our treasurer. We have Anastasia Dawkins, who is in Abaco, is our assistant treasurer. We have a chaplain, Alfredo Strawn. We have a deputy chaplain, which is Marvin Gibson out of Deep Creek, Eleuthera.
Mm-hmm.
We have Justin Johnson out of Blair, who's our sergeant of arms. And Alan Adley, we call him Mr. BPL. So therefore, we have a strong structure. We have advisors such as Bishop Delden Fernando, Bishop Gregory Minnis. We have our spiritual advisors.
Yeah.
We have other advisors such as Patrick Ferguson out of Grand Bahama. We have Edna Glinton here in Nassau. We have Ricardo Dean in Eleuthera. These are some of our advisors who sit with us to give us the proper guidance as an executive. And we have a strong support from the Ministry of National Security. Not everything may fall in place the way we want it, but we push for better communities.
Yeah.
All right? There are communities that does their own funding. They don't depend on government for anything.
Awesome.
They go ahead and have fundraisers. We had a community by the of Jubilee Gardens, Debbie Lightborn, who won a prestigious award from NUSA, which is the highest level of community work in America.
Yeah.
And our organization, along with the Royal Bahamas Police Force, won the highest award in policing community at the IACCB Award.
Oh, international
on
award.
An international award, which is the highest of the world.
Man.
So the NNWC is here to say, it's here, and Keena Wong as the national chairman, I will continue to advocate for better and safer communities for all.
Look here, tell the people before the show ends, how can they reach out to the council? How can they join the council? And how can
you
how
can
they get
reach the
you?
Council by the Ministry of National Security, 502-3300. You can reach me on my cell, 636-9773. And you can email us at BahamasNNWC@gmail.com. And I just want to say that this Sunday will be the first ever NNWC Community Prayer Summit that starts at 5 p.m. on Zoom. And so therefore, if you want more information on how you can join our Zoom network for our prayer summit that is led by our chaplain, Alfredo Strawn, who's also the president of the Fire Trail community, we have an awesome lineup for this Sunday coming where we're going to be praying for our entire country and for our nation. And so, Aaron, we thank you for the opportunity. And once again, on behalf of the Ministry of National Security and on behalf of over 162 watch groups throughout the country, we thank Guardian Network for the opportunity of speaking on the Bahamas National Neighborhood Watch Council.
Listen, thank you so much. I don't think you all understand how important it is for people just to know that this is going on, right? Because these are the things that give us confidence and faith and hope that we are heading in a more positive direction in our country. We're all out of time. I gotta let Levon Miller and Unleash on the mic. It's been a pleasure having you here this
morning. Thank
you. And this is not your last time on the show.
And I just want to say good morning to Christopher and Sanaya Wong, my two beautiful children who attend Temple Christian High School. God bless you. And to the one and only Ethanet Omega. Good morning, girl.
Boy, look here. Y'all know I send in one mango home with your daddy. He better don't eat it before he see y'all. Have a great day, Bahamas. It's been wonderful talking to you this morning. You're tuned into 96.9 FM. It's 11 a.m. and Levon Miller is up next. Have a great day.